Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Mark Striegel,
John Astronomy,
the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel, and we are here in Jersey City, the original stomping ground of Talking Metal, with the original co-founder, co-host of Talking Metal, John Astronomy. How are you, man?
Yo, John Astronomy, checking in to Talking Metal. I'm doing great. I love you guys. I love Mark Striegel, and I love one of my best friends who I've known for years and years and years from my work in the TV business.
Mike Marco is here hanging with us. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm happy to be on with you.
Absolutely. Have you been on the podcast before?
Never, but first time.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm honored.
We have known you a while, so I was thinking,
man,
maybe a lot of our friends through the years have popped onto the podcast here and there. So I'm glad you're finally joining us. And you have a history of music and television. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I worked for MTV for almost 12 years.
Right.
From 2000 to 2011.
Yeah.
When Headbangers Ball came back on the air in 2003. I mean, I'm a lifelong...
Now, was that the Jamie Josta?
Yeah, the Jamie Josta
era. Were you involved
era.
With that? Like, Rickards was doing that?
Right. So when the Ball came back in 2003, I was working in the on-air promos department
a couple
floors up.
All right.
And, you know, we had cameras and mics and all this stuff. So
you're doing promos and stuff for that, yeah.
Promos. I did the promos. I was the voiceover for those promos.
Oh, wow.
You know,
cool.
Coming up next on the new Headbangers Ball, prepare
right.
to get your ass kicked.
Right.
You know, shit like that.
And did they pay you extra for that?
They did. They were very generous, and
right.
I was grateful for the entire experience.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like a lot of people, like you guys too, growing up in, in the late 80s, I watched the original Ball when
right.
I was in high school, and then when I finally had a chance to work for MTV, and it came back on the air, I was like, how can I help?
Yeah.
And I got my hands, you know, dirty and jumped right in with everything.
We recently have hung out at numerous concerts. We saw you at The Cult recently in New Jersey and Montclair, New Jersey, and Jeff Tate.
Yeah.
Doing Operation
yeah.
Mind Crime,
yeah, that
great
was,
shows.
That,
yeah.
was, all,
that
yeah.
was a fun night, that Jeff Tate night. The Cult were awesome, too. Two great shows I've seen yet recently.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I mean, like, you know, the new Queensryche, I don't really know a lot about what they're doing. And like, I've heard a couple songs, and it's cool, but
right.
to me, Jeff Tate, his voice is Queensryche.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
yeah, it
my
is
own
really
opinion.
Tough. I mean, Todd LaTorre, a great singer.
Sure,
but
yeah.
even if he can't hit some of the high notes that he used to, which I thought that night he sounded really good.
Yeah.
There is a color to his voice
that no one can imitate, right. And that is Queensryche.
Yeah, so
definitive Queensryche.
Right.
So, I agree with that. Yeah, and so, I love Tyler Torrey. He's a great guy and great.
I'm sure.
does a great job with Queensryche.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. But like, you know, hearing Jeff Tate do all of Operation Mindcrime,
yeah.
And then a bunch of songs off of Empire,
yeah.
You can't really beat that.
Yeah. And now Jeff Tate will be going out on the road, not playing anywhere in our North Jersey area, really, but he's going to do Rage for Order and Empire.
Yeah, I'm there for that. We got to figure that one out.
He needs to come to North Jersey or New York City and do that. But yeah,
that sounds great. And the Cult Show was spot on. Those dudes, I saw them open up for Metallica on the Sonic Temple tour and Justice tour, and I got to tell you, the first time I saw them, I thought they were just okay because. You know, Ian Astbury, his voice wasn't that good live, and I was kind of bummed out.
Right.
30 years later, they fucking killed it in Montclair, and I was very pleased and super happy for the band and, you know, all the fans, really.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And again, we are hanging with the co-founder, the guy who invented this shit with me.
Thank you, John Astronomy.
You've been a little MIA recently.
I'm sorry, guys.
The show, but you've been... MIA to the Talking Metal listeners, but not really, because you've been out on the road touring.
I've been out on the road touring.
And you guys have played everywhere. I mean,
I was first off with Ace Frehley playing all across the country.
But your band then.
Yeah, my crazy band, Like It, was opening for Ace Frehley from New York to the Midwest to California to the Northeast to the whole country. And we had a great time. I thank all of the Talking Metal listeners who came out to see us.
Did you get any people saying, hey, I like Talking Metal?
Yeah, absolutely. I did, Mark. And that's why we got to keep this strong. And you know what I'm really happy about tonight is I'm happy that we're here with Mike Marco because I always wanted to hear us.
Maybe
just
can help get us back on TV.
If I could somehow pull another rabbit out of the hat, so to speak, but that would be my pleasure. And you guys are doing the good work, and I'm a fan
of you guys
and friends. So I appreciate
that. Here's what I've been wanting to happen for a long time. I wanted us to just sit down at a table, which we are tonight, and, quote, talk metal. And I knew that both of you guys have seen a lot of great shows, and some of them have overlapped. And I just thought talking about those shows would be something that our listeners would want to hear.
Our listeners also want to hear about you, John, though, because you started this with me, and... Just so everyone's clear, like, you went from working with Ace and now you're opening up for him. Are you still doing work for him too, or are you just out on the road opening up?
Things have come full circle. So I am still part of the Ace Frehley management. And so I do that. And then what was amazing is that Ace allowed my band, Like It, to open up for him. When I was tour managing, I could not do that.
Right,
because
right.
got to. If you're
so you're,
tour manager,
you're not doing the tour managing anymore, but you're still doing some, like, management.
Correct. So I'm doing general management. I like to call it business management.
Which, got it.
And it's been amazing. And during that tour, I do two different roles. I'm the guy from Like It. Actually, I do probably four different roles. I'm the guy from Like It. I'm the tour manager of Like It. The VIP coordinator for Ace Frehley and miscellaneous other stuff for Ace Frehley. So it's just a great gig.
Don't start crying.
It. It's amazing. Okay. What's that?
I said, don't get choked up.
Yeah, I'm going to start.
I
might get choked up.
I
know.
I'd like to ask you a question, John. So you're a lifelong Kiss fan. Is that right?
Correct.
That's what I thought. So, I mean, opening up for Ace Frehley, is that just... obviously, dream come true, but what's the crowds have been like?
We first found out on the first few shows that you got to win them over first.
Of course.
They see you, and they're not sure yet if you guys are Ace Frehley fans. So what we learned quickly is that we got to let the audience know we, as a band, Like It, are Ace fans. And we want you to see Ace Frehley as fast as you want to see Ace Frehley, but we want to do our set. And we want you to enjoy our set, but we want you to know while you're enjoying that we're Ace Frehley fans. Now, the funny thing is that this had to be a plant, and I think this was an inside thing from one of my guys, but some guy yelled, Johnny O, you suck, at a big concert. And I was like, how funny is that?
It's very funny, actually.
Johnny O, you suck.
Yeah, Johnny O, you suck. So the entire audience.
It sounds like somebody from Berkeley or something.
Yeah, it was somebody that knew me. We were at the Paramount Theater in Long Island. Now, this is like a small arena.
That wasn't Rob Ferrantino, was it?
Was it? It could have been. I'm kidding. But I think it was a guy that was Jamie, our singer's friend, but and I think he was doing it as a joke, but sadly, there were towns where, like, when you stop a song, there's cheering constantly going on.
Okay.
But then there are towns where you stop a song, and there's silence. And so when one random guy in, like, a small arena yells out, Johnny O, you suck. Like,
right, right.
It freaks you out a little bit on stage. So I'm like, what the
takes
fuck?
You out of the moment,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then if you look back, there's a video on YouTube where I hit, like, three wrong notes at the beginning of a song, and I was, like, fucking startled for a second. And I go, the songs go, da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Right. Like, and I hit it wrong.
Let's play that song right now. What is this?
It's called Doing It by
And you got that
like
recorded?
It.
We can actually
we
play that on the
professional version of it.
All right, we'll play
Doing
it right now on Talking
But Like
Metal.
It on Talking Metal.
Doing it.
right. It's Mark Striegel here of Talking Metal. We are hanging out with Mike Marco and John Astronomy, the co-founder of Talking Metal, who now works with Ace Frehley and was recently touring with Ace Frehley. We just heard some music by John and his band, Like It. John, where's the best place people can get in touch with you online? Like, you can download that for free, right?
Correct. If you go to like-it-online.com, all of our stuff is up there for free.
All right, awesome. And let's, we're talking Kiss, we're talking Ace, let's hit some music right now. Mike, are you a big Kiss fan? Like, how big a Kiss fan are you?
I'm a Kiss fan.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm an uber Kiss fan, but right. I like Kiss. I like their albums in the 70s, of course.
Right. What can we play? I want you to pick a song to play right now.
Oh, man, let's do Cold Gin.
All right. Can't go wrong with this one. Cool.
My head is broke.
right, we are hanging in Jersey City with Mike Marco and John Astronomy. Where are we, John?
Hey, guys. We are at a place called Bistro. Now, there's multiple places called Bistro in Jersey City. We are at the Bistro that is right outside of the Grove Street Path Station, and there's, like, multiple places in here. And I used to know all the names. There's one called the Wine Bar. That's where those people are. I'm pointing to my left. There's a regular bistro. There's a coffee shop.
If you look around, it's kind of like the tile bar. There's tile on the walls,
yes,
white tile.
I call that the bathroom bar because it looks like bathroom tile.
It is bathroom tile, yeah.
And guess what? There's a venue in the basement that has had some bands, and apparently it sounds
really good,
and maybe we'll see some gigs. Now, guess what, guys? I have something here that I pulled out of my bag, and it's a Like It, Stay Alive CD.
Wow, I didn't know these were printed on CD. That's awesome.
Yes, I brought it for you, Mark, and guess what, Mike?
Yes,
I will get you one because I only brought one with me.
That's awesome. And can these be purchased anywhere?
These can be purchased at like-it-online.com.
All right. Guys, everyone should go do that. Buy a copy. Support the guy who founded this podcast.
Thank you.
Who wrote the original RSS feed.
I think they're $10. So you'll get a CD.
Only $10, yeah. It looks very cool, and it is always great.
And it's a professional product, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it look good?
And we will have that link through the show notes on talkingmetal.com, talkingrock.net.
Now, let me tell you about it. It starts out with a song, My Way. It was produced by Dan Grigsby, who's a great dude, with Jamie Ross. So Jamie's a singer Like It. Dan is this guy that worked with Keith Richards, and believe it or not, I think he was even on a John Lennon recording back in the day.
All right.
He's a great dude. He's really, really good. And Jamie told him he wants it to sound like old Alice Cooper. So that's what happened. And then I credited myself as associate producer.
All right.
I just threw that in there as a joke.
No,
I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
No, I really was. And it features Jamie on vocals and guitar, Dave Messenger on bass and vocals, Mike Lincoln on drums and vocals, and then me on guitar and vocals.
Very good.
And then we also had a bunch of great students from the Institute of Audio Research where Captain T and Astronomy recorded.
John and I recorded there a long time ago.
We're doing some great vocals, and turned out to be a great project. I think it sounds great. It's one of my favorite recordings. And, Mark, you know these songs, and I have to say, I'm not even talking as a guy in Like It, as a fan of Like It. Me and you used to go see Like It back in the day. Before I was in the band, we thought they were cool, right?
Yep, absolutely, definitely. And a long history with the band, definitely a historic band from the Lower East Side of Manhattan from back in the day. And great stuff, John. We encourage everyone to check the CD out. We will have it linked through today's show notes. And let's hit some more music, and we'll come back and talk with Mike.
You want a song?
We can do another Like It song, yeah.
Okay, how about this? I'm sorry to do a lot of Like It, but let's do this. It's a hybrid Like It and other song. Bump and Grind. It's called a derivative work. That means that we took another work, which was Bump and Grind by Wendy O. Williams, which had a lot of Kiss influence, and we changed the lyrics, we changed the arrangement, and...
Is that legal?
Was that?
Is that legal?
Technically not. No.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. We got to, like, officially register it as a derivative work. We could just say it's a cover.
Right.
And then deal with it that way. But I think we put so much into the song that it merits us doing it the right way and going to the original publishers and talking to them about making it a derivative work, which is why a lot of people you ask, why isn't this on, like, iTunes yet? That's why.
So you got to buy the CD. You got to
buy the CD if you want.
So we encourage everyone to do that. Let's check it out right now. The song again is called
Bump and Grind.
You got it. Here on Talking Metal.
Slow, come and bump and grind with me.
feel the right. Come and bump and grind with me. Do a couple lines, fuck you from behind. Come and bump and grind with me. Well, I can do it straight, and you can do it gay. If you come and bump and grind with me.
Mark Striegel, that was Bump and Grind by Like It here on Talking Metal. We're hanging with John Astronomy, the co-founder of Talking Metal, and Mike Marco. Mike, you worked at MTV for quite some time. Any crazy stories? Like, what's the craziest rock star encounter you had? Or just, it doesn't have to be crazy, the coolest rock star encounter. Like, any memories you can share from us that really stand out? From it doesn't have to be heavy metal, it can be anything, rock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean the probably like the dream come true, like as a fan. I got to work with Metallica in 2003.
Wow. Cool.
During it was the MTV Icon, when they were the MTV Icon that year.
Right.
And I was working in the on-air promos department at MTV, and they were taking pitches from everyone in the department of what they should do for MTV Icon Metallica, and at that time I was just literally a up and coming creative in the department, like an associate producer. And a buddy of mine, Keith Matera, he was a line producer of ours. He's like, "Hey, you know, this year Metallica's the icon." I was like,
"Wow!"
I'm like, "Wow!" I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "You should come up with some ideas." I'm like, "Who knows them better than you?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm just a young guy in the department." He's like, "Nah." He's like, "Fuck that." He's like,
"Right."
Puts the stuff down.
And they were really good at that, giving young people a chance to do something. They may have not paid them well, but they always gave you a chance to do cool stuff. And I had a lot of that type of stuff happen to me too. But that's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah, 100%. And long story short, I sat in front of my computer. It was like the winter time, and the Icon show was in like May or April. I started pounding out some ideas and submitted them, and about a month later, my friend Jerry Orlandi, who worked in our department, she's like, "We're going to San Francisco." I'm like,
"Wow."
I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Yeah, Metallica picked your idea."
Wow.
I was like,
amazing.
"What?"
And yeah.
So I got to meet James and Lars and Kirk, and I didn't know. I knew Jason Newsted wasn't in the band
right.
anymore, and they got Rob Trujillo, and I know him from Ozzy and Suicidal and Infectious Grooves, but
right.
And I'm a big Jason Newsted fan, and I loved him a lot. But we went to their headquarters, HQ, in San Rafael, and they couldn't have been any cooler to me and our crew. And as a lifelong Metallica fan since I was a little kid, I was blown away by their generosity.
That's a great story. Just
yeah,
to
man.
Hear that they, you know, were that cool. Because I could tell stories of people that I worshipped and liked for so long, and I got to meet them, and they weren't so cool.
Right. No, it happens
for
sure.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, there's always that saying, never meet your idols, you know,
which I
get that now. However, there have been numerous people that I've got to meet that were cool, and I, just
to talk about myself for a minute. I had a long career at VH1. One of my top moments was meeting David Bowie and getting to hang with him.
Cool.
And he sat there and did an interview with my friend Bill Flanagan, who I was working for. And I saved all his cigarettes that he was smoking during the interview. And we have them to this day.
No shit.
And I believe, from what I understand, that his DNA is on those cigarettes. So I think I have David Bowie's DNA.
That's amazing, amazing. Was
That's actually true. I have his cigarette butts, and I don't know what we do with the DNA. Can we make a David Bowie from that DNA?
I think so. I think
according to a movie I watched with Will Smith called Gemini Man, you might be able to make another David Bowie from that. It's a current movie out, Gemini Man. It's on demand.
What was David Bowie like? Please tell me.
He was guarded. He was aware when the camera was on and when it was off. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but but the coolness definitely went up a notch when the camera was on.
He turned it on.
Yeah. And after the interview, he was very concerned and hands-on with what we were doing, David Bowie Legends. He was worried that and seemed very, very nervous about how this is going to turn out. And then we showed him the first cut, and he was like, oh, you got this. You guys understand it. And he was like, send me the final cut. You know, he was, but he didn't trust us, you know, from the get-go. You know, he was a bit controlling until he saw, okay, these guys are going to, and girls, Mary Wharton was the producer, are going to do a good job. They get it. They get what I want. And I think that speaks volumes about him as a performer and how he's worked with different producers and different musicians. And he needs to trust you before. And when he does trust you, he's kind of like, okay, go do your thing. You know, definitely a bit of a control freak. But I think a lot of these and I shouldn't say that, because he was a control freak until he trusted us. And then he was not a control freak. Yeah.
So you mentioned like a cool experience, and I have sort of a cool experience, but in the opposite direction. But it sort of became cool. It was rough at first. First time I interviewed Phil Anselmo from Pantera down, et cetera, his other 1,000 bands that he's in. And a longtime Pantera fan, love Down. And Down 3 just came out, Over the Under.
I like that album
Me
a lot.
Too.
Yeah.
Me too. On March of Saints and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, that's a great song, man.
And so
we played that recently on the podcast. And we'll play it again today, yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. And so I know he's a big boxing fan,
right?
And you know the folks up at Music and Talent up at MTV2 and Headbangers Ball, they're like, so what do you want to do with Down with Phil? And I pitched his idea. I was like, well, he loves boxing,
right?
Why don't we get him down to an old school gym in New York City and have him train an up and coming amateur fighter? So I pitched this idea to the label. I'm like, but I said, like, look, the guy's not—he's not a real fighter. He's like an actor. He's my buddy,
right?
And Phil came down to the gym along with Dave the Snake Sabo, who was managing him at the time.
Okay, yep.
And just the two of them came down, and he comes in, and he's like, and I pitched my friend as the Anvil. His fighter name was the Anvil. He goes, feels like, where's the Anvil? Where's the Anvil? I'm like, yeah, he's getting ready. He's like, no, man. Bring me the Anvil. We got to get to work. And he literally, and whether or not his label told him the guy wasn't an actual fighter, or Phil's just a comedic genius, or both. He ran my friend around this gym for like 2 hours, training him as an actual amateur fighter. And my friend was like a smoker. He's a comedian, actually.
Yeah.
But he was a big, tall dude, 6'2", 200 pounds. And it's kind of great. It's probably out there on the internet somewhere.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
But he hated me.
Right.
He hated my crew. And when I wanted to talk to him about Down 3 Over the Under, he's like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm like, that's cool, man, but I think your fans might want to hear about that. So I sat him down. He finally agreed to it, like on the corner of the actual boxing ring, and he answered my questions, but he really wanted to train my friend and teach him how to fight.
Yeah,
because you can tell he's a fighter. He knows, he's a tough guy. He knows. You can tell by the way he was boxing, he knew his stuff.
Right on.
So
cool.
He was an ornery dude.
That's awesome.
But then I met a couple years later, he was a sweetheart.
Right.
So you know.
Yeah. All right. Here's some Down here on Talking Metal. A wrecking ball, plowing through all. All right, we are back here on Talking Metal in Jersey City, New Jersey, wrapping this show up. No Agenda podcast, just riffing it. And it's turning out
rocking
good. I like it. Yeah, it's like the old school.
It's
old school. What are you drinking? What's your drink tonight, John?
I was drinking a drink that I made up. Cranberry juice and Hendrick's gin.
Hendrick's gin. All right.
Named after Jimi Hendrix.
And Mike, what were you drinking tonight?
I was drinking Johnny Black on the Rocks here
good.
At the bar. And prior to that, at work, at my work, we have it's called Beer O'Clock on Fridays.
Oh, I like
and, that. My boss and co-worker, he brought a bottle of 10-year-old Glenmorangie Scotch in, so I kind of ducked into that a little bit.
So you guys have been going a while here.
That's good.
I didn't start drinking until I got here.
And my friend at work, they may have passed me the pen, if you know what I mean. I don't know. It's all good.
He's doing a lot of artwork with that pen.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, I got a story, and I want you to, Mike, fill us in a little bit. Me and you went up to Connecticut, I think, and hung out with Zach Wild back in the day.
We absolutely did.
There's footage of this. Is there footage of this on YouTube? Or something?
I think there is.
There is, yeah. 2007, 2006, I don't know. Zach Wild, he's doing an acoustic thing at a radio station in Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And MTV2's like, well, why don't we go up there and cover that? And Greg Kaplan, our buddy Greg,
right?
who worked for MTV News, and he was our camera guy and audio guy at the time. Johnny jumped in with us. We took a van up to Hartford, and Zach Wild played for like 50 radio winners in the radio station, and it was him and his acoustic guitar, and he played Stillborn acoustic. He played a couple, maybe an Aussie tune, but another Black Label tune for sure, and he told stories in between about being on tour with Ozzy, about how guitar techs of friends of his used to work for Prince, and it's like how you couldn't look at Prince. Don't look him in the eye. If you looked him in the eye, things happened. And Zach's like, well, if I don't look at you, how do I know what guitar you want to go out on stage? He was very funny, as Zach is. And we had a ball, man. And then, not to wrap it up too quickly, but he literally said, everybody, after he was done,
right,
everybody here, meet me across the street at the bar, and I'm buying drinks for the next 2 hours.
Right.
Like, that's the type of guy
Which
that Zach Wild
did.
Is. And
we got some photos.
Yeah.
We'll post a picture from that day.
Yeah, it was great.
On Talking Metal. Your band, The Burn and Cry, won that event at B.B. King's when I was almost arrested at the end of the night. You remember? Did I ever tell you that?
No.
And that might be happening again tonight.
No.
Literally.
Close to that.
We're not far from that. I'm in the corner. I got a couple of bodyguards. I got a guy named Hank. He's a big dude. He's like watching me right now, making sure nobody comes at me.
I think we're safe right now, so that's good. But
tell us about that event. Well, Gilbert Godfrey was there. Yeah. Joe Piscopo, MC Light. Who else was there?
It was Gilbert Godfrey. It was three judges.
Your friend.
Rodney the Burger Man.
It was
Daryl McDaniels.
That's it.
Yeah, he was a good
DMC.
Friend of mine. Yeah,
exactly.
DMC.
And they were the three judges.
Yep.
John's band played at BB King's. My band played.
Who was in your band?
No, it was just me solo. But I had.
It was John Astronomy
was me
all
solo,
the way.
And then I had Jamie and his wife as my like Men in Black like on the side.
Okay. All right.
And I don't think just to be fair.
Yeah, they didn't play. They didn't play at all. They just handed me guitars and stuff.
We did not win. We came in second place.
Oh, who won? I thought you won.
We did. Well, I guess we won coming in second. We were all given cameras at the time, digital cameras.
Oh, I did not know that.
Which is a very nice gift. And I got to meet Joe Piscopo and talk to Gilbert Godfrey, who's totally weird and awesome. And but yeah, that night I think we hung out backstage and we had a few laughs.
We had a great time. Now, let me tell you what happened. You may not know this. So,
yeah.
I had two Randall Stacks with me. I was only doing a one guitar
gig. You had your helmet on. You had the
had
whole
helmet,
suit on.
Yep, space suit.
And you were fucking laying into it on stage.
Thank you. Let me tell you what happened. I leave BB King's with my gear. I got four Marshall cabinets, but they were technically Randall's, but let's call them Marshall's. I got four heads. They're all in cases. Cabinets are in cases. My clothes are in cases. Open bar. Well, I have a driver who I hired because of that. Because I wanted the hired driver to take me in my eight cases home, or how many of our cases there were. We go to the Lincoln Tunnel, which is near Times Square, and there's a checkpoint. I got a full cape on, silver cape. similar to...
You look great, by the way, that
thank
day.
You, if, thank if you, I Mike. May. Ace Frehley Dynasty area, Cape. And then what happens is the police stop us. And then they arrest the driver, who I didn't really know, but I hired him as a driver. And then they came to me and said, where's your license? And I said, well, I'm wearing a spacesuit with a silver cape, and I don't have a license on me. I go, it's in that truck in one of those cases. So they said, unload them now. So in front of the entire backlog of Lincoln Tunnel people, I had to take out Marshall Stacks, Heads, and find my license, which is in a pair of Levi's that were in one of those cases. I found it. Now, I was under the influence of alcohol at the time.
I was too. And, you know, it was a mess that night.
Yes.
In a lot of good ways.
I was heavily under the influence, and yet the police told me to drive the vehicle. And I said, well, I'm not really sure that I can because, A, I'm under the influence, and, B, I don't really drive. So they said, that's okay. And then, I'm kidding. But I have a license. So I drove to Jersey from there. And then I realized once I got over the Lincoln Tunnel, I better take off the 7-inch heels. Because it's you can't.
Because you're in Jersey.
Yeah. I took off the 7-inch heels.
Yeah.
So I pulled over at a place called Dyke's Lumber, which you might know. It's near Ruthrus Steakhouse. Do you know where that is?
Of course. I live in Hoboken. And it's right right before the bridge in Hoboken and Weehawken. Yeah.
Dyke's Lumber. Yeah. So I pull over in Dyke's
favorite
Lumber.
My lumber company.
Take off the 7-inch platform shoes, which actually got stolen, by the way. Sad story. Anyway. And then I drove back to Jersey City, parked the van in the Target parking lot, and then called the guy's girlfriend and said, hi, I got a message for you. Your boyfriend, who I don't know, has been arrested. I'm going to leave the phone in the front seat of the van, and it's in the Target parking lot. Have a great day. See you later.
Well, on that note.
I love that, John.
Epic story there, man. Let's wrap it up with some Zakk Wylde. You mentioned a couple Zakk Wylde songs. Stillborn, great song. Ozzy on vocals with him on that one, right? Yeah.
But this one, I want to get this to you because I have the recording from that day.
It's him.
It's an acoustic version of Stillborn, just him and
okay.
And it's so different and awesome. And
you
like,
have, okay.
I
you
do,
have a,
I do,
all right,
yeah.
You got to send it to me before, like, Monday morning.
Okay.
Or we'll have to edit this
I got it in the vault, man. It's worth it.
Okay.
Zach's voice and it's buttery acoustic guitar, man.
All right,
it's
you
really
got
cool.
my email, right? Strigglemark@gmail.com. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So send that to me. We'll end with that.
Thanks
Otherwise,
for having me, boys.
We
appreciate
will,
it.
Edit this whole section out.
Hey, I just want to thank Mark Striegel. I want to thank Mike Marco. I want to thank all of my friends who are Talking Metal diehards. And
absolutely.
Thank you for being so cool to me. You make this worth it for me to keep on fucking trucking.
Fuck yeah, man. Thank you, guys.
Here's a little Zakk Wylde acoustic here on Talking Metal to take us out, courtesy of Mike Marco.
Blind me, erase what was still born, have become the feeling I once felt and now didn't know. Oh, yeah, I'm waiting here for you so very long. Just a shell of a man, still born, I understand. Oh yeah, the feeling I once felt now didn't come. Lord, yeah, I've waited here for you for so very long. Yeah. Oh, I've waited here for you so long now. Lord, I've waited here for you, for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've waited here for you for so very long, yeah. Lord, I waited here for you so long. Lord, I waited here for you so long, yeah. Oh, I waited here for you so long.
Rock 106.9 WCCC. We are at Planet of Sound Studios in downtown Hartford. You just heard Stillborn from Zach Wild and Black Label Society. Sounding awesome, as always. Let's hear it for Zach Wild. This session's been brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Also want to thank Miles and Sharon Mangino and Dan Scopino from Planet of Sound. Thanks to Agave Grill, Ovation Guitars, Fluffer, Rex, the whole crew, Guitar Center. Want to thank everyone for listening to The Rock, 106.9 WCCC.